What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Yesterday was a great day for Sox fans, for the White Sox, for this radio station. First game at Guaranteed Rate Field with fans in it in a couple of years. They were loud early. That place was roaring early with the two-run homer by Moncada, then Mercedes again. Fantastic stuff. It was worth the wait. It was worth the West Coast road trip. It was worth the rain delay. And the Sox are back at 500. Let's talk White Sox. Chuck Garfine joins us each and every Friday around this time. Chuck is at NBC Sports Chicago, who broadcasts the White Sox. They got something great going, too, with Ozzie and Frank and Chuck. And they giggle it up and they break it down. So they give you the best of both worlds. And, Chuck, you say that yesterday may be even better than just one of the best home openers.
So I've been thinking it over, So I will say in my lifetime, because I don't know, was the 1960 home opener with the White Sox, was that better than this? I don't know. But in my lifetime, this might be the number one home opener for the White Sox. The best competition, the biggest competition would be 2006. They just won the World Series. They have the banner raising ceremony. Okay, that's massive. Jim Thome hits a home run. They just acquired him or they signed him. They blow out the Indians. So that is the barometer I'm looking at here. Last night or yesterday, you throw in the fact that there were no fans there for an entire season. Okay. They are now finally there. First game. Before the game, Jose Abreu gets an MVP award. You have essential workers there taking part in a pregame ceremony. Then the game begins. You have Brad Keller on the mound. Brad Keller, the guy who caused Tim Anderson to bat flip. Yermín Mercedes hits a home run onto the Dan Ryan, practically off Brad Keller. Yermín Mercedes also bat flips. I'm not sure if people have like made the connection there yet. And then on top of that, Yoan Moncada hits a home run, and Lance Lynn, who they just acquired, goes the distance, a complete game shutout. I mean, when's the next time we're going to see that in a White Sox game, let alone a home opener? So you throw all that into the equation. Boy, that's some stiff competition with the 2006 home opener, if you ask me.
It was all good. There's no doubt about that. Chuck, you can argue that the Mercedes story so far in this season is the most compelling story. What are your true expectations for him over the course of a season?
My thoughts on this with Mercedes, I go back about 3 years with him because, you know, the Sox are in this rebuild and I subscribe to an MILB TV account and I'm watching all the minor league prospects. I'm watching Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Michael Kopech, Yoan Moncada. I'm watching games in Winston-Salem and Kannapolis and Birmingham. And it seemed like every game I would watch, I'm like, who is this bowling ball guy who's not a prospect, hitting the ball out of the park, hitting doubles, big hits late in games? It's Yermín Mercedes. And I'm thinking, like, who's Yermín Mercedes? No one's even talking about him. And he's like the best hitter on many of these teams. So I've been following him and asking people about him. And everyone kept saying, he's a hitter. He's a hitter. And if you look at what he did in Charlotte in 2019, he played the same amount of games, roughly the same amount of bats as Luis Robert at Charlotte. Yermín Mercedes had slightly better numbers than Luis Robert. So he's a more polished hitter than a 22, 23, 24-year-old. What was keeping him down was he didn't have a position really to play. You know, you don't have someone come up to be a DH. It just doesn't happen. He was an okay catcher, maybe he's actually not even an okay catcher. He's worked on it a lot. Played a little bit of third base, believe it or not. But I think he's kind of accidentally fallen into the perfect role for himself, and that is to be a DH. So if you watch him, he recognizes spin come out of a pitcher's hand really well. He's a very advanced hitter for someone who's a 28-year-old rookie. So I think he can stick. He's not going to continue to do this for the whole season, but he's got a great approach at the plate. When there's two strikes, he's not doing what 80% of the hitters in baseball are doing, which is still swinging for the fences. He's trying to just get on base, make contact. I think he'll be on this team the whole year, and I think more excitement's going to be ahead.
He swags right with the rest of the crew, though, doesn't he? I mean, with the chains, and he loves his fans. I saw him taking some pictures with fans after the game. I mean, this dude fits right in, though, with the way the culture is.
Yeah, he does. He does. I mean, I've got so many stories. I mean, like last year, I'm at spring training, and I'm already watching him. Like, I'm just curious about him. I go over to go right behind the batting cage, and he sees that I'm taking a video of him while he's hitting batting practice. He hits a home run and bat flips because he knows I'm filming it. He said last year in spring training, there's all this attention on who's going to be the 26th man on the White Sox. So the first time we're going to see a 26th man, he literally said on the record, I will be the 26th man, I promise. Like, who says that? You mean Mercedes does? I mean, he's basically saying to Rick Hahn and everybody, by the way, I'm going to be the 26th man, so just put my name in pen. I will do it. I mean, we didn't get to see that actually happen because of, you know, the COVID season, but here he is now. He just needed the opportunity. That's what he always says. I just needed the opportunity, and he was getting, you know, he's a catcher. I mean, there was going to be Yasmani Grandal, James McCann, and Zach Collins last year. Then this year, it's, you know, Zach Collins. It's Gianluca was here. There's Grandal, and I think because of the injury to Jimenez, and now you have Vaughn playing some left field, here's Mercedes DHing. DHing is like the toughest position to play in baseball because you're on the bench for the whole game and you have to stay into it, and it's not easy. And Jimenez doesn't like to do it. Abreu doesn't like to do it. Mercedes is like, give me the bat, and I'm just going to hit the ball. Whatever it needs to get done, I'm here. And he's soaking it in, and I think it's just a great story. And I don't think he's a flash in the pan. I think he can stay and be a very exciting player for the whole season.
Chuck, I know he's only made two appearances, but how important is it to see Michael Kopech do what he did in those two appearances?
Massive. It's massive. You know, I mean, here's another guy, like uncharted territory. I mean, how many players do we know, there's none, that had Tommy John surgery, missed a year and a half, then opts out of a season because of a pandemic? Like, it's just like, what are we dealing with here? What's going to be his future? You just assume he'll come. I mean, you hope he's a human being. You hope he can come back and be what he was. And he's come back, and from what I've seen so far, he's better. He's a better pitcher. And he's a guy who throws, when you throw 100, you need control. And you're seeing so many pitchers nowadays who come up throwing 97 to 100 and they don't have any control. So it's kind of like a waste. He has shortened up his delivery and is more accurate. And he's in the right place physically. He's in the right place mentally. Again, it's only two appearances. It's a long season, but I really like what I see so far from him. And, you know, it's always been the sky's the limit for him. You know, they're the ceiling. What's the ceiling? Think of the biggest ceiling. That is his ceiling. Is he going to reach it? I don't know. But after what he's gone through the last three years, to see him where he's at right now is very, very promising. And I want the best for him. And I think he's on the road to having a very special career.
Chuck, I don't like that I hear from my Sox fan friends that they beat up Nick Madrigal already. The kid's played like 37 games in the big leagues. He still gets on base. Last year, he still hit well. Now, granted, I know he's a slap hitter. I know he's a contact guy. I know he can't get into base running mistakes. I know he's got to play better defensively. I feel like this is opposite Gordon Beckham. While everyone was in on Gordon Beckham being the next Jeter for that first year, I feel like Sox fans are beating up Madrigal at second base. How do you see it?
Okay, so I understand why they're doing that. Because I think we had these expectations of, okay, well, he's We don't know what kind of hitter he's going to be, but at the very least, he's going to be so smart right from the get-go, a polished second baseman. He's not going to make any mistake. That was the perception and the expectations. So I think that's why you're seeing him now, and we're just thinking, well, he's a rookie, but he only played like 30 games last year. He hit 340. People seem to forget that. He hit 340.
That's
it was
point.
30 games, but that's not easy to do. So I think what's happened is, and it happens all the time with every team in baseball, 1 week occurs and everything is just so magnified, and you just assume, you start defining guys. I go back to Yomer Sanchez 2 years ago, and there's a long history with him, but like 2 years ago, he had the worst like 10 days defensively. He made like four errors. Everyone was all over Yomer Sanchez for his defense. He won the Gold Glove that year. So I'm not saying Nick Mattos is going to win a Gold Glove, but I think let's let some baseball happen a little bit more, and then, let's get to May, well, June, you'll start to really see all, not all that is Nick Madrigal, but you'll get a better idea of what he is, who he is. Because, yeah, he's made some mistakes. I mean, I think Sox fans can rightfully criticize him for his play, but to say this is who he's going to be, this is who he is right now, I think that's, I think that's a little too much at this point.
All right, and as we let you go, what do you expect the second time through for the guys in the back end of the rotation? There was one surprise good and one surprise bad.
I think Lance Lynn just saved the whole pitching staff for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They were on fumes, the bullpen. The starters were not going deep at all in games, which was hurting the bullpen. And he just said, he not only went out and did that, so he does this, you have a day off today. So bullpen is now saved. And they've got 12 days in a row. If he had gone like five innings again and you have to send out all these guys, I mean, it's this vicious cycle. So he did that. And I think he also said something after the game to the rest of the starters, like, I did my job. It's now your turn. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of competition there. And I like that this foxhole mentality happened already, like a week into the year. Like if you take two of three on the road anywhere, you should walk out of that park, out of that city, feeling great. They took two out of three out of Seattle, and after that loss, you would have thought they lost like the World Series. They were so pissed. And I think that had them look straight in the mirror after the first road trip and be like, we have got to play better. We got to turn this around. This is not who we are. And they did that after Game 8, and we saw how they played in the home opener. I'd like to think that's going to really catapult them and go ahead. They're going to go on a run in the next week. I'd like to see that.
Chuck, great stuff. We'll talk next Friday, and we'll be watching tomorrow, right? Tomorrow you're back on the air?
Yeah, me and Ozzy will do pre and post tomorrow. And, Sylvie, I'm just so happy for you that you're going to be back in the studio next week. That, it means a lot just for myself. Like, I know it's all about you and your family and everyone at ESPN 1000, but I think I'm speaking for all the fans where I say this is just a big moment. We have these like stepping stones that we're all going through.
Sure.
This is a big one for you and a big one even for all of us. So I'm happy for you.
I really appreciate it. And thanks for the friendship, Chuck. You're great. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Chuck.
No problem.
There you go. There's Chuck Arfine, NBC Sports Chicago. Yes, Monday I am back inside that first Midwest Bank studio.
Yeah, you're the only one going to be in the station.
Okay. No, that's not true. You guys will all be there. And
will we?
You can watch us on Twitch, or you can watch me alone on Twitch.
Will we be here, guys?
I'm finally on camera.
I think there's a Muslim holiday.
What time's the tea time? Monday.
I don't know if it's going to be nice enough for you to golf. Maybe you're one of these guys who can golf.
No, I asked them if they were playing this weekend, and they said, no, it's supposed to be like 50 and rainy.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm not going to go play golf when the weather sucks.
It's going to wet. Be very, very wet. All right, coming up next.
It's going to wet.
I got a Little League dad duties tomorrow. There's nothing I hate more than when the little kids, who aren't that good to begin with, have their first game, and it's 45 degrees and it's raining. Ugh.
Bunch of Nick Madrigals running around.
Right? You know what? If it's coach pitch and you hit a couple of them early, they may just cancel the event. So just keep that in mind.
All right. Coming up next, you like a salty Carmen DeFalco, right?
Oh, it's the best. It's the only Carm.
Salty. Salty Carmen DeFalco. We had a sighting yesterday. I want to play this for you because we weren't on yesterday. A lot of fun coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, if you drop some knowledge on us, we'll drop you a free Connie's Frozen Pizza on this Friday. So if you're on your way home, you went to opening day, you want to talk some baseball, maybe about the Bulls, maybe about the Hawks now 4 points out of the playoff spot. Whatever's on your mind, 332-3776. We'll get more away. I just got my the deep dish. This is the first try for my Connie's deep dish. I've never had the frozen deep dish.
Take a bite. One bite. Everybody knows what it is.
I can't yet. It's going to do the burn on the roof of the mouth.
It's going to burn your face off?
I just took it out of the oven. You got to let it cool a little bit. You know when you do, when you go too quickly on that pizza out of the oven?
Promo code ESPN.
And then you got the, exactly.
I don't think that helps that.
Out of the oven? He's talking about too quickly. Yeah.
Out of the oven. I don't think it helps you getting out of the oven, really quick out of the oven.
Sorry. Good try.
Of the minor, issues, my paper cuts, all the different things, where does the burn on the roof of the mouth fire?
Oh, that's awful. It sucks.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's high on the list of do not do that.
Right. So, that, I am not doing that. I'll wait to the next break.
Blow on it a little.
Still hot.
Still hot? Keep blowing on it.
You know what? You want to hear this rant from Carmen yesterday?
Oh, yeah. Salty Carmen.
It was good. I enjoyed the opening day coverage. I got to say, now, obviously, we're always going to talk of this radio station. But we have talked down a guy or two on this radio station as well. Yeah, all of us. I think you guilty, too.
What, are you French? You got a mouse in your pocket? What's going on with you?
We as a group. This radio station from sunup to sundown did a fantastic job covering opening day yesterday. And what Carmen and Yurko being out at the new points bet facility and through the rain and everything that they had to deal with.
And shout out Connor McKnight.
Yeah, shout out to Connor.
Was he on the air for 9 hours?
Oh, yeah,
he was. 3 hours.
Did you hear Hoodie today, too? Did you hear Hoodie get emotional?
Yes.
He had to send it to break. He was speechless. Because, and he put it on his Instagram page. Hoodie is a lifelong Chicago White Sox fan, all right? And Hoodie has put his blood, sweat, and tears into his craft as a talk show host. And now to be, part of the morning team, him and Cap, and to see his picture with Cap promoting their radio show and this radio station at Guaranteed Rate Field made him emotional.
That's
even
cool.
Daily. It was a really cool moment this morning.
That is cool.
So remember, download any of the podcasts, whether it's Cap and Hoodie, whether it is Carmen and Yurko, whether it's Black and Abdallah, whether it's Waddle and Sylvie, the Armchair Nutritionist, shout out Danny Zetterman, the Hockey Show, Pat Boyle, every show we've got on this radio station, just one touch on the ESPN Chicago app. So you could find it there, too, with Carmen DeFalco. Yesterday, you got salty Carm because it was coming off that really bad loss, as Chuck was saying, to the Seattle Mariners, and La Russa throws themselves under the bus. And then, of course, you've getting everyone interacting, and it's really the first time in years people are interacting about the White Sox because they're good again. So Carmen had a warning for everyone. Take a listen.
Now, am I frustrated by the opening week? Yes. I'm sorry that offends some White Sox fans. I had a guy yesterday very upset with me because I don't say anything nice about the White Sox.
That's
I'm not
right.
here to say nice things about the White
you
Sox.
You are a negative Nancy.
If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. But my job is to not to come on and just, let's say things that are nice about the White Sox. First of all, I do say things that are nice, actually.
You do.
I speak the truth about the White Sox.
Yeah, you're very positive.
Okay. I've spoken the truth about the White Sox for many years. If you don't like that, I'm sorry. But it's not my job just to say, everything's fine. I'm just going to talk about the things that are nice.
Smell the roses, Carm.
Everything's nice. Well, I got news for you. Everything's not nice. The White Sox have committed an American League high 7 errors in a week.
7 errors?
7 errors.
They're on track for 162, Carm.
Twice yesterday, your base running or lack thereof, runs you out of an inning twice.
Boy. Can't give away outs, Carm.
When you put the first two runners on in the second inning,
right.
Luis Robert, for some reason, is getting picked off second by the catcher.
How's that happen?
Explain to me how that should
You're
happen.
You're falling
exactly.
asleep on the base pass.
After a disastrous sixth inning, you load the bases with nobody out in the seventh. Zach Collins pops out to short, and then Jose Abreu gets doubled off. There weren't two outs. There was one out. Gets doubled off at second base. I can't just say things that are nice. I'm sorry. It was an extremely frustrating seven games to start the year.
Wait a minute,
and this is what happens when your team has high expectations. Get used to it, White Sox fans, because for years,
that's right.
you bitched and complained. All you guys do is talk about the Cubs, and the Cubs are the only team you talk about because the Cubs were good and they were winning. Now it's time to talk Sox, and it might not always be good because the expectations are high, and I expect better than what we saw. And I think every player in that clubhouse and every person in that organization would tell you that we shouldn't only talk about the nice things right now because they can't be happy.
How great was that? How great was that yesterday? And then they went out and they played well.
And once again, it was brought on by somebody who was tweeting at him.
Right.
Twitter is lighting everybody's fuse.
But you know, and for the people, like, I know whether you read your mentions or not, some people don't read their mentions. I like to read my mentions, A, because I've met some good people through Twitter, B, because every now and then there will be some good tips. There will be a story that maybe someone knows about that not everyone knows about or something that they witnessed. Or they will forward you a link to something that you didn't know about. Like, there are a lot of good sports fans out there. But what I have found, and we were talking about this last week with the sensitive fan bases, I find I get less stressed over Sox fans coming at me because I'm a Cubs fan.
Mm-hmm.
What I have found the most stressful is that internal fighting. Do you know what I mean? When Cubs fans are fighting with Cubs fans, because like 3 years ago when I was saying they were dead team walking, and then there was this group of other Cubs fans who then were calling me out for not being a real Cubs fan or whatever. And this is all new for the first time in years for Sox fans and for Carmen.
What
and
is
for all
a
these
real,
people.
By the way, what is there being a real fan even mean? I think
some
being a real fan
you
is
can't rip them. Like you can't.
Oh, really?
Rip them.
I think being a real fan is that you
That's
see
the worst
good,
type of fan.
You see the bad, you see right. it all, and you're willing to praise them when they're good, and you're willing to be critical of them when they are bad.
Right.
That's just my interpretation of
right.
what a good fan is.
Like 3 years ago, I was not going to be like an ostrich and just bury my head in the sand with their offensive woes and just say, "Oh, it will go away." Well, guess what? 3 years later, we're still talking about the same damn issues with the same damn players.
I think that makes you a sycophant. It doesn't make you a fan.
Who, me or them?
No, them. Oh. Well, you just got pissed right there. Look at me like that.
Yeah, no, and Sylvie, he's saying the people that only say,
right.
you know, the positive
right. right. I think
side
they've got you on edge. I was talking about them, not you, but you wanted to fight about it because you thought I was talking about you.
I was on Cap's show back in those days. Sylvie, you caught a lot of heat from Cap in those situations.
And it left
it's
a mark.
It's early, though. It's early, Sylvie. Just remember that.
And it wasn't that. It was he used to preach that I would live my life in negativity. Just because I pointed out what wasn't working for them, my life was fine as far as positivity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where I don't like it. And I don't think it's fair.
Is it going to end well for you, though?
It actually didn't because I wanted them to hit better.
Hey, you're better than that.
We all are.
Did we ever talk about what Fran Fraschilla tweeted about that saying? It was like a week or two ago. Fran's one of Cap's great friends. He said, like, for anyone who tweets out there, you're better than that.
Or something like that, yeah.
He said, you're a moron. Yeah.
What a subtweet. What a subtweet.
It was great. It was fantastic. All right, coming up. Hey, red hot. Red hot. Like it, love it.
Oh,
now's the
you.
Perfect time to yeah. fade me. Now, I've never been hotter in picking games. Now is the time to say the trend's going to end, and Sylvie being Sylvie's going to catch up, so we're going to make you some money.
What's up, everybody? It's Adam Abdallah. Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook, There's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sports book. They've got all the odds on all the biggest sports, and they make it simple and easy to place your bet. It's the place to go for exciting bet types such as the same game parlays on the NBA and Major League Baseball. They offer daily promotions and special offers, so your next bet is just around the corner, and they believe that beating the spread is hard enough, so unlike other sports books, FanDuel doesn't make you jump through hoops when you want to withdraw your winnings. If you haven't signed up, FanDuel is giving you $100 in free bets when you sign up. So no deposit required. FanDuel will also make your first real money wager risk-free up to $1,000. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get it right back in site credit. In order to sign up, though, you got to check out FanDuel's new sportsbook and racetrack in East St. Louis, formerly Fairmount Park. And while you're there, bet, watch, and win on live horse races and sports from all over the world. Sign up now, then bet on FanDuel Sportsbook right from your phone, on your couch, in your chair, in your bathroom, wherever you want to bet from, you can bet from. I'm not going to tell you where to do it. Just know you can do it mobily after you go to the racetrack and sign up. So head on over to FanDuel Sportsbook and race and horse racing to get in on the action. Must be 21 or over and present in Illinois. Site credit is not withdrawable. Expires in 7 days after receipt. $10 minimum deposit required to withdraw any winnings. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I like it, love it. In just a minute, we've got what to watch for coming up as well. I just took my first bite of the Connie's Frozen Pizza Deep Dish with a buttery crust. Outstanding.
Yeah?
Yes.
Can you eat the whole thing?
Easily. Easily. It's sausage. This is outstanding. Like, I have not tried a deep dish pizza at home that translates like this. It's that good. Connie's Frozen Pizza.
Did you make it or did you have help making it?
What do you mean? It's a frozen pizza. If I can't do this, then I'm really helpless.
Question stands, sir.
Yes. I preheated the oven to 375.
Okay.
Now, for the deep dish, it needs more time, Waddle. It's
okay.
47 to 52 minutes in the oven. You know? And then I took it out, let it cool just a little bit, and it's outstanding.
What if it was like 52 minutes in and you were 7 minutes deep segment?
Yeah,
and
weren't you worried about that?
Don't you have...
You got to check on your pizza early, okay? Because a lot of times these ovens vary. The last thing you want is a burnt pizza.
I agree with that.
So you weren't worried at all having the pizza upstairs cooking while you're doing a radio show downstairs?
No, I timed it out. I timed it out for the breaks, yeah.
That's
all
quality.
I would be concerned about while talking to Waddle would be, am
burning
I going to burn the
pizza.
House down?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I put it in at 3:30 right before Waddle's World for a 4:15 arrival, you know? Now, it's a 47 to 52 minutes, so I was thinking 45. I'm going to go check on it. And I did it 4:15. It was ready to come out.
Wow.
And I'm here and I'm enjoying it.
He is pizza man for crying out loud.
It's true.
It's like
there
he
are
knows
very few
how
things
to do
I
it.
Can do, Black. Very few things.
So you're having the sausage there. The sausage here is fantastic. The thin crust?
Yes. This is the deep dish. Yes. I've had the sausage thin crust as well. My son, Mason, the oldest, loves the pepperoni. I've not gotten my youngest Braxton on the pizza train yet.
Really?
I don't know why he likes mac and cheese, but he doesn't like when the pizza's made, you know?
Well, more for you.
Yeah, he wants more chicken tenders, he wants french fries.
Maybe it's because like when he reaches for a piece, you slap his hand
because
that's dad's pizza.
Yes.
After a while he'll stop reaching for the pizza. I don't know why he doesn't like pizza.
You got that right.
Because you're eating it all. Or maybe there's none left when he sits down to have a slice.
You know, I used to act very poorly when our friends would, like, mooch off my plate. And now I don't think that will ever be a problem again, right?
Wait a second. Which of your friends, sitting outside and Pat Boyle reaches over and grabs a piece of your steak?
I'm not saying when we're out for a nice dinner, but like when people, you know, like, no.
Carm's reaching over to have a bite of your pastrami sandwich or what?
For instance, my wife said, no, I don't want any, I don't want any, I don't want any. Okay, now we're going to order, I'm only going to order one then. And when I order one, there's only enough for me. Don't come at me then when I don't want to share some of this, all right? Well, let's order two. No, don't want any. Don't want it. Sure enough, it comes out. Can I have some? See, now that's a foul.
That's not a friend. That's your wife. That's family.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to Like It, Love It.
Just a little taste of it.
Standings, please.
Well, before that, wait, don't call me now. When Chris Bleck gives out his taste.
Stop.
Because I know he's got some, phrasing, not going to say that. He's got some fresh sausage pizza in his mouth.
I bet he does.
Once he gives his taste, then be caller 20 and you'll win some pizza.
All right, there you go.
Wait till Chris Bleck gives his taste. Because right now, Chris Bleck is in last place with 15 points.
He's last place taste.
7-11.
Last place taste.
Listen, Waddle, don't talk trash because you went 0-3 last week.
Timeout. Are you his defender?
I'm just saying.
Whoa, wait a second. Like, I don't know. Are you lead blocker or what?
I'm just saying. Don't cast stones if you live in glass houses.
Don't be a hater.
I'm the champ.
You're not.
I am.
Right, he's the reigning champ.
Okay,
I am the reigning champ.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, a football player knows how to pick football games. Good for you.
Oh, cool.
Good for you. What do you want?
A lot of them don't, though.
Well, this one does.
Yeah.
But they show the picks on TV on all those shows, though, with all the football players. Huh.
So Waddle's in second or in third place. He's has 21 points. He's 10-8.
I'm in
second place.
Long
I have 25 points. I'm 10-6-2. And Sylvie coming off a 3-0, 2 weeks in a row. It's just 2 weeks.
You're
2 weeks in a row.
You're coming at me, and I still have a record over 500.
What's my record in point total?
If you have 28 points, you're 13-5.
That's good.
I am telling you.
That's
anyone
good.
Who has followed this show and my picks through the year in football should know when I am 13-5, instead of riding the streak, now is the perfect time to jump in and to fade me.
You got a blind heater going.
You know it. Like,
you
this
have no
is,
idea where you're going, but you, everything's turning
I
up
am,
roses.
This is Tuffy Rhodes territory right here. 3 home runs in the opener, and you know it's going to go south. So
I played against Tuffy in high school. I never saw him hitting 3 home runs in Major League Baseball.
Well, he had a good Japanese career.
No, I know. He was a good player, but like.
All right. I'll start it. My like, since I've got the honors now.
Oh, you have at it, mister.
Going to go to the Bulls game, and I'm going to go with a young Bull, Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams, the total for him tonight is only 8.5 points. I'm going to play the over on the second of a back-to-back that the young legs will help him, especially against Atlanta, and he will score double figures. I like Patrick
That's
Williams.
That's a good find.
Over 8.5 points.
That's a good find. That's doing homework.
What did we determine the max juice we could take was?
Like plus minus 130?
130?
Really? That's a lot.
It's not that much. Not for baseball. Yeah. Not for baseball, it's not. All right. I guess then I will do this.
Give us one. I mean,
the Astros. Well, I was going to take the White Sox tomorrow are facing left-handed pitching again, and they're minus 140.
You could take it. Go.
Okay.
Take it.
All right. I'm going to like.
Waddle, are you good?
It's Dylan Cease. I feel like you should give it to me.
That's not nice.
Well, he's not great. So. All right, I'm going to like the White Sox minus 140 then, if there are no oppositions to that.
Waddle, what about you?
I'm going to take the under 227.5 Bulls and Hawks tonight.
Really? I was thinking about the over. Tell me why.
Because I said so.
I've rode with you with basketball lately.
There are some guys out for the Hawks. I think that'll keep their total down. Second game in a row for the Bulls. Just playing a hunch that this game...
Hawks are missing a lot of guys.
I just said that.
I know. I'm just backing you up.
He's got a hunch.
I'm backing you up, buddy. I'm backing you up.
I got a
hunch. I'm lead blocker.
Not a hutch. I got a hunch. So I got the under 227 tonight.
Okay. Black.
Okay.
Spurs and Nuggets tonight for my like. I'm going to play player prop. Jokic over 9.5 assists at plus 100. I'm taking the over 9.5 assists. For Jokic.
All right.
On his MVP campaign.
Really good. I'm going to love the Bulls tonight. I learned from Waddle last night. He talked me into playing the Bulls. They're playing well on this road trip. They're starting to understand each other a little bit more, like the guys just said a couple of times. Atlanta shorthanded. They're getting some good matchups lately. So let's ride it, all right?
Let's ride it.
The Bulls are a half-point favorite. So all they have to do is win. So I will take the Bulls.
All right, my love is going to be tonight. I'm gonna. It's a late game. Washington and Golden State under 239.5. Under 239.5. No scoring in that game. No scoring.
Wow.
I'm going to love your like. I'm going to love the White Sox tomorrow.
All right.
Black?
you were waiting for me to describe something, so you were searching for something, and I left you hanging.
All right, here's my love. Nikola Vucevic, tonight, I agree with the assessment. The Bulls are going to roll. I think what I told you guys a couple days ago, the next 11 games are going to sub nicely for the Bulls. They're on a three-game win streak. But here's the player prop that I like here. Vucevic, over 2.5 three-point shots made at plus 150. He's going to make three tonight. He's
going to
score.
Plus 150, boom. Too. Good
plus
value.
150 over the 2.5 three-pointers made. For Vucevic.
I like it. I may play that. That's good value right there.
Boom.
All right, and a taste. I'm going to get a taste of the Blackhawks tomorrow in Columbus to win. The Columbus not good. The Blackhawks need a win. I think they're going to come up and win tomorrow's game.
I'm going to switch my like and my love just for the record. I'm going to love the White Sox and like the Warriors. Well, I mean, you know.
Switchies.
So, Sylvie, you want a taste of the Blackhawks money line?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take a taste. How about this, guys? The Astros are 7-0 against the run line. That means they've been winning games by more than a run and a half every game so far this season. So I am going to ride that trend until it's not a trend anymore, and I'm going to go with the Astros minus a run and a half. I believe that's plus 115 tonight.
All right.
That's my taste.
I'm going to taste the Bulls to win. The game's a pick 'em, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yes. Well, yeah, it's like a half point, so basically, right. Yeah.
Bulls to win.
Okay, so what is the ruling here for live gambling? Can I gamble? Can I use a live game right now and
take what
I have offered?
Yeah, DraftKings has great live if you're looking at it right now.
Okay, Nationals-Dodgers, 0-0 game right now. I'm taking the Nationals plus one at plus 120.
Okay.
You got that? Nationals for my taste.
So all they have to do is win. Right, I mean,
well, he can push.
I can push, but yeah, let's get a win here, though.
Okay, there you go. That's like it, love it,
and that's Chris Fleck's taste. So.
There you go. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Connie's frozen pizza on the line for you, just as we enjoy it today, and they take over the First Midwest Bank studio.
I got a good what to watch for this week, boys.
And I
got
to tell you, Waddle's been red hot with his television recommendations. Yeah. I look forward to this segment all week. What to watch for next?
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, it is time. Don't play the open yet. For What to Watch For, brought to you by our great friends at Swift & Sons, Great American Steakhouse in the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. From the award winners of the Boca Restaurant Group, Kevin Baim, Rob Katz, our heroes, Executive Chef Chris Pandell. They bring you the Chicago Steakhouse with a modern twist. And they are open for reservations right now in the bustling Fulton Market District.
Let's do this.
Sit outside, sit inside. And they're also available for takeout and delivery. And remember, when the Cubs come back to town, Swift and Sons Tavern is across the street from Wrigley Field.
Nice.
If you're in Wrigleyville. So absolutely outstanding from the Boca Restaurant Group. All right, let's get to What to Watch For.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
You've been red hot, Waddle. You've been streaming up a storm.
I am a streamer and a half.
Yes, you are.
My wife is very good at identifying new series and shows. And somebody suggested to her to watch season one of 000. It's on Amazon Prime. This is how it's the preview. A cocaine shipment makes its way to Europe, starting from the moment a powerful cartel of Italian criminals decides to buy it, to its journey through Mexico, to its shipment across the Atlantic Ocean. This story takes place in three separate places. It takes place in Louisiana. It takes place in Monterey, Mexico. And it takes place in the hills of Italy. And there is it's shot tremendously well. I mean, it is kind of an intense show. But I thought the acting was great. The only, I mean, there are very few that you'll probably recognize, which in a lot of instances is a good thing. But it's shot well. They show you like the first 15 minutes of a scene, and then they go back in time and show you the same period from another character's perspective. It's really cool. You'll understand it when you watch it. But it
how
was,
long's this been going on? Like, how many seasons are there
available? The first season was 2019, so I don't believe that the second season is out. I don't know that
only
the
one,
second
so
season.
So one season, huh?
Yes. It's got a 93 Rotten Tomatoes and an 8.2 on the IMDb, whatever it is. So, like, for those of you who like the rating systems to gauge whether or not you should watch it, listen, I enjoyed it. We watched it all. It took us about three nights, but I saw the whole thing. I loved it.
You are a power streamer. You
I
get
am
through
a power
those shows
streamer,
quickly.
Yeah.
I am going to tell you about the documentary. You know me. I love
you're
these.
I'm a documentarian.
I do.
What's up, Doc?
Well, I don't document myself. I like watching the documentaries.
What's up, Doc?
And you know how I have felt about these serial killers. And this one, very
yeah,
close
to home.
It's
starting to make me nervous.
This is a Peacock Network. This is where you get Yellowstone, Waddle.
Yeah.
Peacock Network has the John Wayne Gacy story. Now, I lived through this time. Anyone who's listening to our show right now, and you grew up in the Chicago area, and you're my age, you're in your 40s, maybe you're older than that, you lived through the late 70s, and you, in 78, found out about John Wayne Gacy. And it made your parents watch you even more closely. Like, stranger danger was real because of what happened with John Wayne Gacy. Even though I lived through it, there are so many things that I learned during the documentary. Larry Potash is in it, Waddle.
Nice.
Jay Levine is in it. A lot of old school Chicago news, a lot of national news clips in this, including lots of interview footage from John Wayne Gacy. So if you like this sort of stuff, check out the documentary. It's heavy, yeah, but it's very good, and it happened, obviously, here in Des Plaines. All right, boys, what do you have?
Well, I'm going to give you something you don't need to think about. I watched Godzilla vs. Kong last night.
Good.
Oh, did it live up to it?
Yeah, I mean, it was good.
Were you high?
No.
I don't ask that in an accusatory manner. I'm just asking, is that a movie that's best when you may be,
no,
you may be riding the
I mean, if you
want to
watch
wave,
two big things beat the crap out of each other for 2 hours, like, it's kind of cool. I mean, it
takes the place of an NFL Sunday, right?
Well, there's nothing. I mean, there was once the Bulls game was over, you know, I put on. I was like, I got nothing else to watch. So
I was always a Godzilla guy when I was a kid. I was Team Godzilla.
Well, this is this might test your. Actually, I don't know. I don't know if it tests your allegiances to Godzilla or not. It's a good movie, though. I mean, it's all right.
Let me guess. They team up together at the end.
No spoilers.
Take
better
down the
than
other,
Batman versus Superman?
Take down the other monster.
That was a crappy movie, wasn't it?
Was it?
I didn't see it. I heard
about the Snyder Cut.
Not good.
That what? Did not see that.
It's the Snyder Cut.
I mean, look, if you want a movie that you don't have to think about for 2 hours, it's a good movie.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like much of an endorsement to tell you.
No, I mean, because like, it's not.
If you got 2 hours to kill, guys, and you got nothing else going on, throw on King Kong versus Godzilla.
Well, I watched all the episodes of the show I told you about last week, Made for Love, and they only put out three every Thursday. So like, once I was done with those, I was already on HBO Max, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen this yet. This is here. And so isn't that what everybody does now? Oh, I'm here. I'm on Netflix already. Here's another Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm on
totally.
Amazon Prime already. Here's
I'm
another
a Netflix
Amazon
guy.
Prime.
That's where I go first, Netflix.
I'm on Peacock. Here's another Peacock.
What do you got, Black? Wrap us up here for what to watch for.
I usually watch 60 Minutes each week, no matter what's on. But this week, they have a segment about Prince and an album that he recorded in 2010 that the estate is going to release this summer.
He's got a ton of stuff, doesn't he, that hasn't been released yet?
And so the piece is about the estate, Prince's estate, and they're going to debut some of the music that's going to be on the new album during the 60 Minutes segment this Sunday.
Prince is as good as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
You love Prince, yes. We all do. I don't think anyone dislikes
Prince Rogers. That's what I'm going to be watching for. 60 Minutes after the Masters.
All right, coming up in 2 minutes, speaking of the Masters, let's get you an update from the Masters. It's getting crowded, more crowded up in the leaderboard towards the top. And we'll also get some sights and sounds from opening day on the south side. Talk Cubs offense. It's all coming up in 2 minutes.